study 1 Corinthians. The 1 Corinthians is a book trying to resolve the problem of the church. As we know that we all belong to the society, and the society has its own culture, and the society has its own norm. However, after we believe in Jesus Christ, we begin another group, which is the children of God. According to the book of Ezekiel, the principle of the temple is holy. Holy means separation. So the church must be different from the society. If the church is the same, identical with the society, and this is a worldly church. If the church is holy, and the church will be different. So the church in Corinth has a lot of problems, and Paul tries to use godly principle to address the problem. So the book of 1 Corinthians has a lot of truth hidden there. Before going to that, when every time you go to the library, in the entrance of the library, you always see a sign. What is the sign? Every time you go to the library, there is always a sign. What is the sign? You don't know. Don't talk, no cell phone, and what? Probably your library, everybody different. Any other things? Is that a very common sign that the library say no food, no drink? Yes, right. Have you ever seen a library allow you to bring the food and drink? Almost none. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Okay. The reason I raised the issue is the child. No food, no drink. Probably in your local church you are very free, but this should be a standard practice in our church. The reason is the chapel is the place we worship God. So if you want to drink, you want the food, just outside the chapel. Because if you say drink water is okay, then how about soft drink? Right? Why water is okay and soft drink is not? Where is the line? And regarding soft drink, there are many different kinds of soft drink, right? Tea is okay and coffee is not. It's very difficult. So in order to keep the chapel in a very solemn atmosphere, the chapel should be no drink and no food. Of course, no worldly talking in the chapel. So every time we come to the chapel, we just know this is a place we fellowship, and it is a place we study, and this is the place we sing him, and this is the place worship God. Now, yesterday we mentioned that 1 Corinthians chapter 8 to chapter 10 talk about freedom. And we finished chapter 9. And chapter 10, chapter 10 is an extension from chapter 8. Actually, chapter 8 beginning of discussion about the food worship to offer to the idol. And this topic extends all the way to the end of chapter 10. And so 8 to 10, we can use the topic of instruction concerning the food offered to the idol. But if we look at this kind of topic, we will feel, oh, that has nothing to do with me because I don't offer the title. I don't eat the food offered to the idol. But the three chapters, we look from different perspective, and then we can understand the three chapters is talk about freedom. No, the freedom in Christ. And yesterday we talked about chapter 9. And chapter 10, it talk about three principles. Guide our freedom. And verse 22. Chapter 10, verse 22. chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are edifying. And then we read verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whether you do all to the glory of God. So the three verses give us three principles of how to guide our freedom. The third verse is, all things are permissible, but not all things helpful. The whole Bible, you can never find whether you can smoke. Can we smoke? Can we smoke? No, based on what? Based on this verse. All things are permissible. Yeah, you can smoke because it's according to the law, right? It's fine, but it's not helpful. It's not good for us. So we use a principle to judge. Is that good for you? If it's not good, then we should not smoke because the body is a temple of God. A God created the body in order to serve Him. And this body is a place Holy Spirit fill upon. So the same thing, drug. Can we use the drug? In the Bible, you cannot find it. Then why should we use the drug? It's not helpful to us. It's not good for us. So this is the first principle. Not everything permissible means we can do it. We have to think about whether it's good for us physically, mentally, spiritually. If it is not good, then it's not good. The second thing is the next verse, 24. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. The thing I do edify others, and this is very important principle to judge. If I eat meat, well, let people stumble. Just a previous chapter, then I should not eat that. Just like a parent refrain a lot of things because the children been born. It's because of loving the children. So in the church, yes, you are free to do everything, right? As long as it's not against the Bible. But when we will try to do something, we have to think about, if I do this, how about, what will that affect the newly baptized men? What will that affect those who are weak? So we have to think about this and make a decision. And the last one, the most important one is, if I do this, can I glorify the name of God? If we smoke, if we get drunk, and you pass a flyer in the park, oh, come tonight, we have evangelical service. How do people feel? They are not going to come, right? Why? Because the way we behave cannot glorify the name of God. So all the teaching, all the will of God is hidden in the Bible. But some of the universal will is very clear. You have to be holy. You know, worship idol, the Ten Commandments, very clear. But some of the will of God, you cannot find. If Bible want to write down every detail, then the Bible is just a very big book. You cannot carry that wrong. But Bible gives us a principle. Give us a principle to make a judgment. And most of things, 99%, you can find the answer from the principle of the Bible. So, Christians are free, but the freedom should be limited by love. Loving ourselves, loving others, and loving God. I always ask the question, did Adam love Eve? the Adam of Eve, yes or no? Yes or no? Form of form, phrase and phrase, right? Then did Eve love Adam? Yes or no? Yes. How do you know? Yeah, Eve and that fruit is so delicious. Share with Adam. It's good. You try. When Adam try, both of them die. So, freedom. Here's the thing about the freedom of the consequence of freedom. So that's the reason the Bible says we have to love others as we love ourselves. Adam and Eve did not love herself because she ate the fruit, she died. So if she don't know how to love herself and use that kind of love to love Adam, and Adam died either. Right? Now we come back to chapter 10. Chapter 10, it talks about the journey in the wilderness. In the beginning, we already mentioned New Testament is a spiritual interpretation of the history in the Old Testament. Because Old Testament is talk about the Israel history. They were chosen people. But in New Testament, we are spiritual chosen people. So we can interpret the history in the Old Testament with a spiritual way to as a guidance for our spiritual journey. And chapter 10, from verse 1, we can see crossing the Red Sea represent what? Baptism. And after the baptism, they were under the guidance of Moses and guidance of the pillar of the cloud, the pillar of the fire. And they came around the tent, tabernacle. All of this is spiritual teaching. After the baptism, we already left the world. We don't belong to the Satan. We don't belong to Pharaoh. And that is the beginning of our spiritual journey. After the baptism, we baptize into Jesus Christ. We are under the leadership of Jesus Christ. We are not under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So, in the verse 3, talk about spiritual food. And verse 4, talk about spiritual water. And that water comes from the spiritual rock, and that rock from Jesus Christ. So, in our spiritual journey, God gave us spiritual food, the words of God, and spiritual drink, the Holy Spirit. So, if we listen to the words of God, we receive the Holy Spirit, filled by the Holy Spirit, we were able to grow. So the words of God contain two parts. First part is milk. The second part is solid food. So in the beginning, we eat milk. But later on, we are going to eat the solid food. So both of the sides of the water, we can receive it, then we can become strong. If we only receive the soft word, feel-good message, and whatever message comes from the Bible is solid food, we cannot receive it. In that area, will become the weakest point of our servitude. In that area, will become the weakest point of our spiritual cultivation. In an area which you cannot accept the solid food. No. So it's good we can accept all the teaching of the Bible, because this is the food. Verse 5, chapter 10, verse 5. But most of them, God was not well pleased, for their body were scattered up in the wilderness. Most of them, God was not pleased. Actually, in the beginning, God loved them. According to the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, God cherished them like a pupil, very precious. They were the property of God. And how come later on God did not like them because they choose, use their freedom to choose, make a decision which God don't like. Here I mentioned about several things. So later on they died. Verse 6. Now these things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So the thing is, if we use the freedom to lust for evil things, then we are going to repeat the same thing, same consequence happen in the wilderness. So the journey in the wilderness is very difficult, but still, those who are about 20 years, the male, original have 600,000. And after 40 years, everybody died. Only Caleb and Joshua survived. Still, two can survive. Why these two can survive? Because they just follow the law. Do everything according to the law. So they were able to survive. The same thing. Today, the heavenly journey, it's possible, absolutely possible. We can overcome. We can be trampled. We can be victorious. If we follow the law, follow the teaching of the Bible. It's possible, absolutely possible. But if we try to make some decision, lust for something which is different from the Bible, that may be the beginning of the downfall of our faith. So freedom is good, but there's always a consequence attached to the decision made by your own freedom. So chapter 10, verse 6. A lot of people die. 7. They do not become idolaters. As were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down and ate and drank and rose up and prayed. Verse 8. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Sexual immorality from the beginning to until now, really the weakest point of human nature, the weakest point has been so many people have been killed. And verse 11. So now all these things happened to them as example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the need of the ages had come. So this warning written in the Bible to warn us, don't repeat the same thing. The Bible actually says so clear. If you see the roadside, there's a high voltage of the electrical tower, right? Under the high voltage electrical pole was the tower. In the level of your eyesight, there's always a sign, right? The sign says high voltage. Some of the sign accompanied with a picture. Diagram about a skeleton, right? That means you cannot touch, right? When you see that kind of sign, what are you going to do? I just don't really, I want to try. Can you do that? You cannot do that. When you do that, you will not be here. Right? Just like a poison, right? You want to drink, but a soft drink, but this, you already know it's a poison. You cannot drink it. When you drink it, you die. The same thing, another thing, you cannot do it. But if you choose to do it, then the consequence is dead, spiritually. So all these things are written here to warn us. So verse 12. Therefore, let him who think he stands take heed lest he fall. Those who are so confident about themselves should be very. The longer I serve, What is next? The sweeter will be, right? Yeah, that's true. The longer we serve, the sweeter will be. But in another perspective, the longer we serve, the more temporary we are. Why? Because so many people have been defeated by Satan. So the longer we serve, the more watchful we are. Self. Because the longer you serve and the more important work God entrusted to you, it always, you always become a target of Satan's attack. So be watchful. Now, on the other hand, verse 13, then who can be saved? Right? So chapter 10, verse 13. Now, no temptation hath overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will not be made the way of escape. We also made the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. With what that means? Yes. There are a lot of temptation outside. But the Lord's Prayer says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Right? And God, when you face the temptation, God will help you. To a point, when you cannot endure it, God will open the way for you. But usually, this temptation we interpret as a trial. Because trial and temptation, in original text, sometimes same words. When you are under trial, you cannot bear it, God will open the way for you. But in terms of temptation, the Lord's Prayer is say, lead us not into temptation. But a lot of times, the reason the person falls is because they themselves go into temptation. Right? Just like in a freshman, in the first year, you're not supposed to drink. Spiritually, you're not supposed to join the wild party. But if you choose to join the wild party and you start to drink, you become, your Lord's Prayer become lead us into temptation. Alright? We lead ourselves into temptation. So it's difficult to keep the faith. Now, chapter 11 to chapter 14. Instruction concerning the public worship. So start from chapter 11, it talks about the woman has to cover the veil, veil the head, with two reasons. What are the two reasons? What are the two reasons? Because women are come from men, right? Adam, Eve was made out of Adam. The second reason is the woman sinned first, and then Adam second. And today, we don't do that, but the teaching itself still apply. So what is the teaching? Veil the head means humility. So there's an order in the marriage. Talk about marriage. This is talk about marriage. There's an order in the marriage. Man should be the head. So, woman veil the head. Head represent honor the man in the family as a head. It doesn't mean the woman are inferior. It means there is an order here. So this kind of teaching still apply nowadays. You know the reason there is so many problems nowadays for a lot of women, it's difficult for them to be submissive. But if you read the later on, we are going to book Ephesians, talk about marriage. Only two words. The man has to love the wife, and the wife has to be submissive to husband. There are only two words, love and submission. And the man should love to the woman, to the wife, to at what point? Like Jesus loved the church, at what point? The point of death. So if you, one day before you get married and you walk in the street and when the dog start running, chasing you, and if the brother run first, this marriage is not good. The brother stands, supposed to stand before the sister, right? If you buy me, don't buy him, her, right? And then it's a good love. When you try to order something good, the first thing you think about your wife, right? You cannot eat good thing and come back to tell your wife, today I eat something very good. I come with an empty hand. That's not good. And woman should be submissive to husband. If the husband loves the wife, and to submit to husband, we have no room. We lose nothing. Just like the Bible. All the teaching of the Bible come from love. Because God loves us, giving so many teaching. If we obey and submit to the teaching of the Bible, we lose nothing. The reason we lose a lot, because we know it's good, but we don't want to do it. So if the husband loves the wife, and every thought, every decision all come from God, and you, the wife, you submit to your husband, you lose nothing. It's good for you, it's too good for the family. So the veil of the head represents submission. And it's a virtue. Yes, nowadays a woman very capable, you know? Very capable. So every speaking, you look into the statistic, woman study is better than men. Right? In school, the master degree, PhD degree, usually a woman more than men. And also, it's more capable sometimes. But if a woman know how to be submissive, have that kind of virtue, and this is a person with wonderful value, is really can qualify to be God. So being submissive is do not become a strong-willed. So if a man want to marry a wife, and later on marry a husband, wow, woe to you. The wife commanding you, do this, do that, and you become slave. Of course, when you fall in love, being slave is fine. But the teaching of the Bible is not that way. The teaching of the Bible is a sequence there. And now, 17 onwards. 17 onwards talk about Holy Communion. We always emphasize this. There are three key words. You have to discern the bread is the body of Christ. First one. You have to examine. We have to examine, not you. We, including me, we have to examine ourselves to repent. So God forgive us, we can partake. The third is we have to be determined to live a life in response of the Holy Communion we partake. So these are the three key words. Discern, repent, and return. And chapter 12 is talk about the public worship. 12 is talk about the gift. And especially from verse 1 to verse 11. Usually, without looking into the Bible, usually, what kind of gift most impression? Usually, if you don't look into the Bible, only this and that, Old Testament, what kind of gift is most impression? Ever think about it? What kind of gift is most impression? Performing the miracle, right? Oh, the dead person here, in the name of Jesus, the person start to walk. Oh, it's wonderful, right? And then in the hand, the person receive Holy Spirit and cast out the demon. Now this is very impressive because you can see the result. But if you look into the gift, then all of a sudden you find out it's different. And you look into verse verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. For to one is given the words of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the words of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another one faith through the same Spirit, and to another one the gift of healing. Look, the gift of healing is number 4. The first is words of wisdom. How come the words of wisdom is the most important gift? Because through the words of wisdom, we were able to understand God's will perfectly. If we were able to understand God's will totally, we were able to live a life really please God. We were able to live a Christ-like life. So, and when we become a Christ-like person, in the eyes of God, we are the most valuable person because we are the image of God. So that is the number one gift. But the gift of performing the miracle is edifying the church too. But after a person sick and been cured, the person sick and been cast out, the person's life probably is still the same if the person don't understand God's will. So that is the reason you see the church, sometimes the member, they receive so much blessing, cast out the demons, cure the sickness, but when they still leave the church, they still live among the worldly life. How? Because they lack spiritual wisdom. And then, verse 10, the last sentence, one is speaking in tongues, the other one interpret tongues. So most of the denomination call, you see, speaking in tongues is only one of the gift. So I don't need to speak in tongues, right? No, there are two kinds of tongues. The first is storia, the second charisma. One tongue is the one you receive Holy Spirit, you will speak in tongues. Everybody, when you receive Holy Spirit, you will speak in tongues. The other tongue is spiritual gift. And that tongue is to edify the congregation. So when the Spirit moves you, your message tells the congregation, you start to speak a unknown language, and then God will open another people's ear, can understand you, and to interpret to edify the congregation. One day I was in Nigeria, in a spiritual convocation. All of a sudden, in the elderly people standing in the front just stood up, speak a unknown language. I thought it's a Nigerian language. I asked a co-worker, he said, no, I cannot understand either. But a brother sitting in the rear stood up and started to speak. Today is a spiritual gathering, so we should be holy so that God can descend on us and to bless us. Oh, we understand. So my whole life in my ministry, I only witnessed one time in Nigeria, speaking in tongues with another interpretation to edify the congregation. So the tongue here is talking about the special tongue to edify the church. It's not the tongue of receiving the Holy Spirit. So all these kind of gifts from verse 4 to 11, just like one body. The gifts are not to compare each other. The gift is to supplement each other. It's just like your hand cannot compare your foot, right? Your feet. Your feet just boasting, you see, I can run so far. Can you hand, you can do it, right? Then you can try. You use upside down your hand, how far can you run, right? Because different gift for different function, right? And then the hand boasts to the feet. I can lift up 100 pounds. How much weight can you lift by your feet? This comparison makes no sense, different function. So all the different functions just work together and it's a perfect body. So in the church, don't compare this gift and that gift, because gift is different. You just think about all the gifts work together, how wonderful it will be. If you start to compare, like Paul sowing the seed, Apollo water, right? The gift different, but you put it together, it sounds very beautiful. Now, and then chapter 12, verse 12 onwards, talk about the whole body. The whole body with different function. Verse 23, chapter 12, verse 23. And those member of the body which you think to be less honorable on this way based on greater honor and to unpresentable part with greater modesty. So what does makeup mean? I know some of you said makeup, right? Makeup means some part you don't feel is beautiful and make it up looks beautiful, right? If it's already very beautiful, you don't have to make up. If the beautiful one is your makeup, you become a doll. No, a different person. Is that right? So the church is the same. When we see some members are not presentable, and this is just like a body, a weak part of the body, and we have to show special care, pay special attention to it. Now, just like we take care of our body. And then, the body has to take care of each cell. And then verse 26, and if one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. So how do we know the church is one body? Very simple. If one member has some difficulty, and then you pray, you feel very sad about the difficulty, even shed for the member, we are one body. Now, the same feeling. When you have toothache, right? What can you do when you have toothache? You continue running your marathon, you cannot do it. Even one tooth had some problem, your whole body cannot do anything. Right? It is because of one body. So, when you have the same feeling in the church, when one member embraced by God, everyone feel very joyful. And you have one body. One member, something happened, we feel very sad, let's pray for them. The member, we have one body. So one body has different members, and different members have different functions. It's not to compare, but to take care of each other and to work together so the body can grow. And very important thing is what we have to think about. In the church, since I'm a member of the body, then what is my function? This is very important. Now, in the church, I am part of the body, so what is my function? Then we have to fully function our own part, and the church can grow. But a lot of times we forget about our own function. We keep on looking at other, this part function, not function well, right? It's fine, yeah, we can know which part is not functioning well, but we also have to understand which my part is functioning well. If everybody function well and put it together, and the church become a healthy body. So this is what we have to think about. And chapter 13 is talk about love. The most beautiful explanation, the essence of love, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Since this is the introduction of the New Testament, right? The greatest chapter talk about faith in New Testament. What's that? Hebrews 11. The greatest chapter talk about hope in New Testament. The same, 1 Corinthians chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 15. 15 talk about resurrection. That is a great chapter of hope. And the greatest chapter of love is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And when the Bible talk about love, there's one sentence repeat for two times. What is the sentence? Love, explanation, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if we go through quickly, 13 verse 4. Love suffer long and is kind, right? Suffer means somebody do you something wrong to you, but you respond with kindness, and that is love. If you repay evil with evil, that is not love. Suffer and kind. Oh. And in the beginning, talk about if we have all kind of gift, I have no love. Oh. What does that mean? I become a sunken brass or a cleaning symbol. What does that mean? Oh, you make a lot of noise. No meaning there. No. So the reason the words contain some meaning which can really benefit others is because the words itself have love. If you remove the words, the love, and the words itself come out empty talk. No. And verse 3, sometimes it's very difficult to understand. I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and through I give my body to be burned, but I have not love. It brought me nothing. How can this possible? Yeah, it is possible. If you look in the politician, they want to get elected, they donate a lot of money, and they use a reporter to take a picture, and the second day, put on the newspaper to promote their image. And that is not love. And that kind of love is some hidden purpose. That's not love. And that kind of charity work in the eyes of God is worth nothing. So love, the reason we love is because God is love. The reason we love because we care other people. We don't use the love to try to achieve our personal purpose. There's no hidden agenda. No. Right? There's no hidden purpose there. So simple. And that kind of love is very pure. And another sentence is love. Oh, 不喜欢不义,只喜欢真理, don't like unrighteous, only like the truth. So because of this, we will never rejoice in the wrong. So we cannot become use love as an excuse of cohabitation, adultery. Why? Because love only rejoices in right, not rejoices in wrong. Love should be guided by the truth. Anything go beyond the truth is not love, it's lust. So we should differentiate lust and love. We think the truth is love, outside the truth is lust. So if one day, I hope it never happened, you love somebody who already married, it's lust, it's not love. If you like somebody who don't have relationship, don't marry, that is love. So it's truth. We have love, truth. That's the reason.